to have Pastor Luther Eatman here with us from Bridge of Hope Community Church in Kansas City. Preach God's Word for us this morning. Bridge Hope Church has been around since Pastor Luther and his wife planted it in 2003 in Kansas City. And they've been a part of the Midwest District in the Free Church since the very beginning in 03 as well. And so we're very pleased to have him. I'm gonna pray for him, and then I'll have him come up. So let's pray. Father in heaven, now as we are anticipating hearing from your word, I pray, Lord, for your servant Luther as he comes and proclaims your word for us. Speak through him. And Lord, open up our hearts, open up our ears by your Holy Spirit. For we need to hear your word. We need to be instructed by you. And Father, we need to continue to pursue you through your word. Help us to grow in our faith. And Father, I pray that we would not just hear the word this morning, but that we would be doers of the word. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Y'all doing good? Y'all doing good? I'm kind of an interactive kind of person. If you want to say amen, please go right ahead. I am so grateful to be here and thankful to God. I think Clint told me that I have about to 11:40 of tomorrow. So I'm not going to try to keep you long. I want to be obedient to what the Spirit of the Lord has given me. You see the passage of Scripture that we're going to be dealing with, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. If you have your Bibles, please turn there right quickly. I'm a proponent of the Bible, not the phone. That's just me. I'm a Bible kind of guy, man. You know what I'm saying? I like books, you know? And so if you say, one of the things that I do in Kansas City, if you reach that passage of Scripture, just say amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. And it reads like this. While traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he told them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And while they were going, they were cleansed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell down at his feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he told him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has saved you." This morning, we just want to talk just basically about the grateful worshiper. The grateful worshiper. You know, a lot of times that I've been a Christian now, going on for about 27, 28 years. And I remember growing up in the church. I'm a PK. I remember growing up in the church where they were emotionally charged. But it's not really about emotion. It's about more about conviction and the recognition of what God has done for you. It's more about what God has, how he intervened in your life in your most darkest hour. How you were hopeless and helpless and God came, Jesus came, when nobody else came. To worship is to recognize that and to give him honor and glory, not just for what he did, but for who he is. I think we lost that in the church. I think that we're not giving him his due. I don't think that we are willing to say his name out loud. Jesus himself said, "If you deny my name before man, I will deny your name before God." Clint was saying that he was praying for the church that we'd not be ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of salvation. Why should I be ashamed of Jesus? Because he is the gospel. He is the very one, the personification of love that God sent to mankind. Because we were in a situation and a circumstance that we could not get ourselves out of. We are the one who placed ourselves there, but he was the one who got up off his throne based on his adoration that he had for the Father. In this passage of scripture, I just want to share a few things with you. This aspect about being grateful is a major thing for us as Christians. It should be, we should be the most enthusiastic people on the face of this planet. We ought to be the most joyous people on the face of this planet, the most secure people on the face of this planet. But yes, we are unstable now. We have allowed situations and circumstances to intervene in our lives that cause us to lose sight of what Jesus has done for our lives. We have allowed the culture that's surrounding us to intervene and to be able to manipulate it and to influence us and to persuade us to even look toward a man and a man that is created by God but not who God is. Four or five things I want to share with you. In verse 11, I want to talk about this adherent Christ. Christ was adherent. He was submissive to the Father because he had adoration for God. The Bible tells us in the book of John that he didn't come to do his will, but the will of the one who sent him. Why? Because he loved the Father. The Bible teaches us that the great commandment is the central, most powerful thing. It is the best gift in which God can give us, and that's love for the Father, but also love for one another. It is that motivation that moved Jesus, that got him up off of his seat, off of his throne, based on the fact that how much he loved God, but also how much he loved us. We're supposed to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but also we ought to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. His aim was to come and to seek and to save the lost. God gave him a commission. He says, as the Father has sent me, I now send you. Do you not know that there's 51% of the people in the church don't know what the Great Commission is? They have no clue or no idea what that is, and yet that is the calling and the commission of the church. There is no such thing as a missionary department in the church. Did I say that out loud? Because we're all on mission. Even in that context in which I was talking about, when Jesus said that God sent me that word sent in the Latin is missio. He sent him on mission. He said, now he sent me, but now I send you. He's sending us on a mission. Matter of fact, greater things that you would do than I did. Why? Because there's greater, more people than he was who's going to do the same thing. His attitude was humility. See, without humility, we don't do the things that God has called for us to do. We're not going to be submissive. We're going to be arrogant, and we're going to be conceited. But Jesus had humility. He said, have this mindset that is in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, right? 4 and 5. He said, have other people's interests more than yourself. Jesus had other people's interests more than himself. How do you think that he went through everything that he went through? Being mocked, being humiliated, being beaten by his own creation, who looked at him as being an enemy, not a savior. But while we were sinners, God loved us so much that he sent his son. And you know what, Kevin, the song talking about, it was love that kept him up on the cross. wasn't nails. This was love. But then comes his authority. His authority. We look in the book of Matthew in chapter 28. He said, he told the disciple before he gave him the Great Commission, all authority has been given to me. That is in heaven, that is on earth, and under the earth. He has all authority. Matter of fact, that some of the people who listened to him speak, they said that he spoke with one who had authority, not as one as the scribes and the Pharisees. He has given us that authority. That's why he said, go therefore. Go therefore and do what? Make disciples. Of who? Of all nations. And what are we supposed to do? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And to be able to teach them to what? To observe the very things that I've taught you. Oh, then he gives a promise. What's the promise? I will be with you. Lo, I will be with you even to the end of my days. God did not send us out alone. We're not going by ourselves. Jesus didn't go by himself. You look at the book of Luke in chapter 4, you see that he was led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. He was anointed with the Spirit. And guess what God gave us as a gift? His Spirit. Jesus said, I must go that the helper must come. And he won't, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. That he's not just going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. That was give us security when we're at Bridge of Hope. We realize and understand that we're not by ourselves. And God did not tell us to do something on our own. He gave us the ability to do just that. Oh. We look at verses 12 and 13. Here is this incurable disease called leprosy. During that period of time, there was this disease that man could not cure. We look in the book of Leviticus in chapter 13 and 14, and this deep-seated skin condition, this disease, was something that was incurable, but yet something that was very infectious. This condition was an abandonment condition because they were disowned, even by their own family. They were disgraced because they had to walk down the street and say, unclean, unclean. But they were also desperate. Master. They call out Jesus' name, not being ashamed. Let me tell you something. When you're desperate, you don't care who's listening. See, all of your modesty, when you're in pain, I remember going to my brother's hospital room, and he was sitting on the bed, butt naked. And he didn't care who saw him. You want to know why? He was in pain. See, all that pride and all that stuff goes when you're in pain. You don't care. Because here's the thing that you found out. Nobody else can do anything for you. There was a woman who had an issue of blood. She went to every doctor that she could, spend every dime that she could. But then she heard something about this man, Jesus. See, this is the same thing with these 10 lepers. They heard about Jesus. Matter of fact, if you go back to the book of Luke in chapter 5, you'll see that he dealt with another leper. The leper said, if you can heal me. He said, yes, I do. I can. I will. But he just didn't say the words. He touched him. Let me tell you something what people don't like to do. Touch folk. Homeless people are almost like they got leprosy because people don't want to touch them. People who are struggling with this with addictions and alcoholism, it's almost like they got leprosy because nobody wants to touch them. People who have abandoned their children, women who abandoned their children, they've been called all kinds of names, but yet people don't understand why they allow their children to be taken because they realize what kind of the situation they have, so they act like they got leprosy. People act like they got leprosy. They don't want to touch them, and they condemn them. You need to say that you're unclean. Bible teaches us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he tells us this. He says that we're supposed to be new creation. He tells us this. He said, listen, he says, do not look at people in the flesh anymore. Don't look at Christ in the flesh anymore. When we look at through the lenses of our flesh, we are looking with bias and prejudice and condemning eyes. But we're supposed to be new creations, right? We're supposed to have the Spirit of God. We're supposed to be changing. We're supposed to be becoming more like Christ. But yet we allow the behaviors of people to stifle us that we can't show love and compassion. Yet, we want somebody to show us love and compassion. We can't even show them forgiveness. We won't even forgive people, but yet we want forgiveness. Thank God for Jesus. Because in verse 14, this amazing compassion came. Because here's the thing what Jesus did. He heard their cry. He heard their cry. And in verse 14, he says this, and when he saw them, he told them, go show yourselves to the priests. I don't want to miss this thought at this point here. When the leper said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, that word master basically means commander. They knew he had authority even over their leprosy. Here's the question. Do we believe that he has authority over our problems? He heard their cry. And when he heard that cry, he then considered them. That word consider is a lovely word. It basically means that God had you on his mind. See, for me, I could jump up out this seat. I could jump all the way over there now. Why? He considered me out of billions of people. He considered me because he saw me in my weakest and darkest hour. He saw me when nobody else could see me. He considered me because he realized that I could not get out. But understand this, he helped me to realize I couldn't get out. See, understand this, that God is not going to come to anybody as long as they think that they can save themselves. See, it's the Spirit of God that convicts us to help us to realize that we are hopeless and helpless and that we need a Savior. Have you forgotten what Jesus did for you? Or maybe did you thought you did it on your own? See, the motivation behind all of this is compassion. When I talk about this amazing compassion, because Jesus went into Jerusalem and he saw the people like sheep without a shepherd. The Bible said he had compassion. That word compassion means that he was hurting. He was in pain. Here's the thing what I do when I walk down the street, when I'm driving down the street. I'm in pain, man. You don't know why I'm in pain. I'm seeing people, man, who's in pain. They're hurting. They're sheep without a shepherd. One of the major problems that homelessness is steady increasing, lack of laborers. We don't mind throwing a nickel or a dime at something, but I'd be doggone if I give up my time. I'd be doggone if I give up my talent. I'd be doggone if I go on out there and they don't need Jesus. That's a problem, man. Because he said that the harvest is plentiful. That means that there's people who are ready. There's people who are ready to hear the gospel, and yet our mouths are closed. We're angry over a political aspect. Whew, that bothers me. I forgot all about Jesus. People are dying. Jesus considered them. He considered their condition, so he gave them a command. Go to the priest. Now understand this. If you want to get well, do what Jesus tell you to do. Just do what he tell you to do. They did not say anything. They didn't question him. They didn't say, that's kind of ludicrous. You ain't did nothing. You don't even care about it. But they left. They left out of what? Out of obedience. Now, understand this. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all did the dishes because your mama told you to and you did it out of love for her? Come on with me, somebody. You know good and well it wasn't out of love. See, even in this case, they're being obedient, not out of love for Jesus, but out of a benefit that they will receive. See, a lot of times people want to say Jesus based on what they give. You remember when he fed the 5,000 and more? They wanted to make him king. Why? Because he's a good time Jesus. He's a welfare Jesus. He going to give us everything that we need, physically, food, shelter, and clothing. See, that's why I go to Bridge of Hope. I go to Bridge of Hope because they help pay my bills. They help me with my food. They help me with my clothing. And I'm at church every Sunday because I know I'm going to get something. Y'all ain't heard nothing what I said, did you, right? I tell people this. I said, let me ask you a question. When you ask people to come to Bridge of Hope, what you asking them to come see? What you asking them to come get? When you ask people to come here at this church, what are you asking them to come see? What are you asking them to come get? Or who are you going to introduce them to? See, coming to church don't mean diddly squat. So I tell people at Bridge of Hope, if you're not asking them to come based on the pain that they can be able to hear a message that can convict their hearts and change their souls and be able to repent and give their lives new meaning, why are you asking them to come to get food? Like we the one that's doing it. So I share with people this all the time. I say, listen, we want to use people's needs to introduce them to Jesus. So tell them to come. They can come get some food, but let them know it's Jesus the one that's doing it. Because he knows their pain. He knows their situation. He considers them. He commands. Now, guess what? His capability is now on display because as they're going, guess what? They're cleansed. They're just walking. He didn't even touch these leopards. He just told them to go. Do you know that God's word is powerful? Somebody need to hear me. God's word is powerful, that God, he don't even have to touch you. All he got to do is just say it, and it's done. Matter of fact, if you have faith in him, you can draw power from him without him even knowing it. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus was walking. Then all of a sudden he said, I felt power. Who touched me? Well, his disciples said, duh, Jesus, there's a lot of people around you. Everybody tells you, no, power left me. So you know why a lot of people don't get healed, a lot of people don't get saved? Because they don't have faith in who he is. Because they still look at him as the world sees him. You remember what he says? He asked the disciples, who did the world say that I am? Well, you John the Baptist, or you one of the prophets. In other words, you just a man. He's just a man that God uses. Okay, fine. That's what the world says. But who do you say that I am? Do we look at Jesus that the world looks at? Or do we look at Jesus as he is and who he is? Well, there was one who came back appreciative and was converted. He came back. He's walking. Then all of a sudden, he says, wait a minute, hold up. The sores, they're gone. The pain, it's gone. I'm feeling myself now, and I'm looking. Something has happened. Something has changed. And I know who did it. Amen. Y'all ain't hearing nothing what I'm saying, right? See, you know that man couldn't do it because you went to them. It was a disease that nobody can cure, but yet he said, go to the priest. Show yourself to the priest Because it was the priest's responsibility, according to the law, to look at you and to say, hey, now you're good, you can get back into society. But on the way going, he recognized that he was healed, and he went back to his healer. Why? He was grateful, man. I remember when Jesus got off the sea as it was tossed and turned, and he got up because his disciples were scared, and he said, peace be still. Wind stop, peace be still. They're in the same boat with him, but they backing up. What manner of man is this? They in the boat with him and still didn't know who he was. We call his name. We call him Lord, but do we know who he is? Do we know what he has the capabilities of doing? Do we have faith and trust in him as we should? And are we grateful for what he has done? He acknowledged the acknowledgement of worship. Understand this. Let me tell you. It's not about what he preached or what I preach. It's not about what the songs that we sing. Worship can only be accepted and acknowledged by the one you worship in. When I ask people, and I'm going to call back to Bridget Hope, and I'm going to say, hey, how did worship go? Oh, the Spirit was in the house. Man, God was moving and shaking. Here my question is, anybody change? Because if you leave out here the same way you came, ain't nothing happened. Let me just share something. There was no worship. Jesus acknowledged his worship. He acknowledged his worship. Now understand this. When he went back, his worship was focused on Jesus. Because this is what he did in verse 15. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice. Let me tell you something about worship. Worship ain't about whispering. Is this thing on? Worship ain't about sitting still. Worship acknowledges their Lord and their God. Do you remember in Acts 3 when this man was lame, who never went inside the temple? Why? He had no need to go inside the temple because he thought money was the issue. I'm going to stand like this. There's a lot of people who look at the church as a welfare system, as social entity, but not as a place where God dwells. So they have no desire to go in. They always want something from them. But Peter and John says something. Hey, look at us. Look at us. So the man now is expecting something from them. Why? Because they said, look at us. Do you know what the church says every day? Look at us. See us. Watch us. Look what he's done. We're not the same. So the man said he had expectations. Now he's one. So Jesus said, Peter said this, silver and gold I have not, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus the Nazarene, get up and walk. Y'all ain't hearing me, man. Guess what he did? Peter took him by the right hand. And as he was raising him up, his ankles got strong. He leaped up, stood up, ran into the temple, shouting praises. When is the last time you came in here shouting praises? I'm just going to share this out loud then. When is the last time you came in here and saying, Jesus? When is the last time you came in here so enthusiastic about what Christ has done in your life that people looked at you and said, dang! Are we too, here come the word, sadity? Yeah, I said it. And care about what other people think about me. Can I say something to you right quick? Are you listening? Who in here saved you? Did anybody in here save you? Why you worry about what somebody else saying, think about you? You know when I got saved, when I went back into the church, right? Matter of fact, people can't hardly shut me up because I sit in the front row. If you notice, Luther, I'm so proud of you. There's nobody that sits in the front row, right? Every church I go to, I ask the question, are these chairs reserved for somebody? I'm just being serious. Because here's the thing. I went down into Jacksonville, Florida, because I was coaching a church planter down there, and I was listening to him preach. So guess what I was saying? As the Spirit of God is in me, he's convicted me about what he was saying, because he's speaking through him. I am now being convicted by what he says, so I'm saying amen. I say, preacher, come on, man, right? So after the service, I walked back, and I'm talking to Bruce Redman and a few other people, and they said, man, you need to turn around. I said, uh-oh, what did I do? They said, man, just turn around. I turned around. There was a line of people who wanted to talk to me. The preacher was over there. There were two or three people over there with him. And there was a line of people wanting to talk to me. So I asked, I said, what's up? What's going on? Did I break protocol or something? Well, they said, I wish I could do what you did. What did I do? You said amen. You acknowledged your praise. You encouraged the priest. I said, guess what? Did you feel that? Yeah. So how come you didn't do it? I didn't want people to think. Let me ask you a question. Get your Bible. Go to any gospel. And I want you to see who was on the cross. Who was on the cross? Was it you? Because you didn't die for me. Because you don't even know me. So and understand that. People say, that song didn't do nothing for me. Was I singing to you? Or was I singing to the one who saved me? We're going to have to break free from the bondage of human perception. I thought he did that when he saved us. John 3:16, right? You remember that? God so loved the world, he did what? He sent his son, right? His only begotten son. It talks about value. So guess what? When I found out how much God loved me, how much he valued me, that guess what? He broke me free from you. So now guess what? I ain't trying to be funny. I care less how you think about me. That's why I do what I do, man. That's why I'm free to say what I need to say. Because guess what? You wasn't there when I was thinking about killing myself. You wasn't there when I looked at myself as an accident of God. You wasn't there when I didn't think that nobody loved me. You wasn't there when Jesus came. And when he came, he healed me. He saved me. He changed me. And I acknowledged him. So when I come in, guess what I'm going to do? The name of Jesus, when I hear the song, Lord Jesus, yes, Lord. I'm going to do that. Why? Because my Savior considered me. The worshiper came and he bowed down at Jesus' feet. He sang praise, Lord, thank you. But then he articulated it with a loud voice, and then he had an attitude and an approach of humility because he hit the ground prostrated before the feet of Jesus. When the last time you laid on the ground, prostrated, and prayed? When the last time you bent your knees and closed your eyes and bowed down? Or do we think that we can see God eye to eye? How do I know that Jesus, that this man worshiped? Because Jesus got agitated. Verse 17 and 18, Jesus got the agitation of Christ. First of all, he reviewed. In other words, he analyzed the situation. He said, wasn't there 10? Wait a minute. Let me just get this right. Didn't I heal 10? That's what he said. That's the question that he asked, right? Then he had this recognition, he acknowledged, but where are the other 9? And then there was the renunciation. He said, did not anybody come back to worship? Wait a minute, let me make sure I get this right. Did anyone return to give glory to God except this foreigner? So you hear what he said? This person came back, this Samaritan came back and gave God glory. Jesus acknowledged his worship. How many of us acknowledge the worship? How many of us acknowledge Jesus? He was agitated. You think that God was pleased with that? No, he wasn't. We walk every day. He blesses us every day, new mercies every day. You just said a privilege for us to be here one more time, one more Sunday, and it's still the same status quo. Like, it's boring to come on church on Sunday. Like, it's not no big deal. We just do what we've been doing. Can I say this right quick? I know I'm about ready to go because he opened up the doors to the church. God bless his heart. I was down in Tennessee. My daughter was having surgery, so I wasn't at the church, and I called. And my brother had preached that Sunday. And I said, man, how things go? Bruh, you should have been here. I said, what in the world happened? The Spirit, man. Miss Connie, that's one of the elder ladies in the church. Miss Connie was praying for this lady. Then all of a sudden, Miss Connie nudged Cortez. And Cortez said, go ahead. And she began to tell people, what's wrong with y'all? Have you forgotten what God has done for you? Y'all all sitting here like bumps on a log, like Jesus ain't did nothing for you. You're sitting here as though God owes you something. I said, good. Did she say all that? She said, yeah. And she said even more. I said, what else she say? Do you know that after the Spirit got through using her, the atmosphere changed? The temperature changed. Can I just say this with you? Get out of traditional worship style and allow the Spirit to move you. God deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When that happens, people change. Understand this. This man came back. He acknowledged God for what he did physically, but then he got blessed spiritually. He got saved. Tell people to come to worship, not to church. Ask them to come to worship. Ask them to come to experience what you experience. Ask them to come to feel what you feel. And I guarantee you, if the Spirit of God is leading everybody here, that person comes in here is going to be convicted. And that person could be saved. Father in heaven, thank you so much for you. We thank you and we acknowledge you as our God and our Lord and our Savior. We need you. May we be grateful worshipers, Father. May we be able to acknowledge what you have done, never forgetting that what you do for us, new mercies every morning, Father. You bless us. Even when we sin, you look past that because, Jesus, you sent your son to die for that very sin that we committed, even for future sins. That washed clean and you imputed into us a righteousness that will never fade or never leave. That's on our account. We thank you for who you are, a compassionate, gracious, merciful God, in which there is nothing impossible for you to do. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the leadership here. I thank you for the pastor and his family. But more importantly, I thank you for Jesus for planting this church. May you use them in a mighty way. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children would say, amen. Give God some praise, man.